you can turn to me with me to Colossians 4, 2 through 6, it's on Pew Bible page 1028. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone.
Thank you, Ian. The heart is a very important organ in our bodies. I was talking with a friend this past week, and he had just recently spent some time in the hospital, and his heart was working too hard, too fast, and they were getting that settled down, and it just reminded me of how important the heart is. Now, we all know this, don't we? We can't live without our hearts for very, very long. There can be some artificial ones there, and they take it out and do things. And my wife used to work in a cath lab, a catheterization lab. So I have heard a lot about hearts and about rhythms and all of this. And as a matter of fact, I have on my wrist one of these things that is called a Fitbit. It's a tracker. And it'll tell me what my pulse rate is. And right now it's 73, which is pretty good. It'll speed up in just a moment, I'm sure. With this tracker, it'll tell me how many steps I take in a day and how many miles I walk. If I'm taking a run, it'll tell me that. And I can finish my run and see how rapid my heartbeat became during the run. And I can watch it, and it'll track my heartbeat at night while I'm sleeping. And I can tell by my resting heart rate kind of what's going on, because if everything's normal, I'm around 60, 61, which means I'm not quite in as good a shape as I used to be. Should be down in the 50s probably. If I'm going through stress, it'll be 10% higher. It'll be like 65, 66. So you can follow this. You can probably become obsessive compulsive over something like this, but I'll try not to do that. But the reason is our heart is very important. And this morning we're thinking about living heart first. Now, as important as this organ is in our bodies, what we're talking about today in living heart first is just as important in our experience with Jesus Christ, in our experience with life. And it is such a tricky thing, because the Bible speaks a lot about our heart. We know it when someone says, invite Jesus into our heart. And we're not talking about the organ, we're talking about into our life. And one good way to understand what the Bible means when it talks about following the Lord with our heart, and our heart is us. It's the deepest part of who we are, as the Bible refers to it. So we want to live our lives heart first. We want to live out the life the Lord has given us. We want to allow Him to work in our hearts and change our hearts. So living heart first is a wonderful thing, but sometimes what can happen to us, it's a nice thought. But do you know how hard it is to live heart first? Because we start out in life with lots of expectations, and we just imagine all kinds of things. Maybe we start out a new job, and this new job is going to be great. Or maybe we start out a new school year or a new season on a sports team, and we think, wow, this is going to be great. Yesterday I was playing golf, and golf is one of those crazy sports that you will fail in this sport. But somehow, we golfers always begin with the expectation we're going to be perfect. And then when that doesn't happen, as it always doesn't happen, we get disheartened and we get down. And it's amazing how brutal that game can be to you. And in life, living heart first is incredibly hard. Because though we may start off with expectations, though we may start off just thinking everything's going to be good, life is very, very hard. Do you remember the first time your heart was broken? Maybe it was when you lost a pet, or maybe later on it was when you had a boyfriend or a girlfriend and things didn't work out the way you thought they would, or they said bye-bye before you said bye-bye. And it's best to be on the front end of that saying bye-bye, because it hurts a lot on that back end. If you're the number two, you've got to really gain some ground. But then we get out in our careers and things maybe don't go as well as we would like. Maybe we don't get that promotion that we thought we deserved, or maybe our health becomes an issue for us. And maybe our children do not turn out the way we expected they would. And we think, well, whose children are they, or who raised these kids, you know, and stuff like this. But life is hard, and to live heart first is tough, because our hearts can become cold. We can become cold-hearted because we've had disappointments, and the way we brace ourselves and the way we've learned to cope with life is to develop a hard heart. And we might characterize it by a stiff upper lip or something like this. But our hearts can become cold and can become hard, and we don't want to get involved with anyone else. Or we can just live life half-heartedly. Because we've cared so much, we've tried so hard, and it seems we've come up with so little that we are just half-heartedly living. But this morning, we're speaking about our relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know what can happen to us? We can start following Jesus half-heartedly. Or we can just start going through the motions. But this morning, God's Word that we're looking at encourages us to live heart first and helps us evaluate how our hearts are doing by certain things that characterize heart first living. Because Jesus did not come to give a new religion to the world. There was a wonderful religion that Jesus was born into. It's called Judaism. The first half, or really most of this Bible, has to do with Judaism, God revealing Himself through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the way through. That is a wonderful religion as far as religions go. Jesus did not come to start another religion. Jesus came to change people's hearts. He came to save us. He came to give us new life. And that's the essence that we have in Jesus Christ. And this man that wrote these words, the Apostle Paul, was a man who had everything religion could offer. He had standing. He was he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had risen to the highest level of his religion. He had a future. He had status. Everything was going right. Except, and he didn't know it at the time until he met Jesus. And then he realized that everything he thought he had before, he would describe it as garbage, as rubbish compared to knowing Jesus Christ. So let's look and see what he says a little more deeply about what it means to live heart first and how heart first living can be characterized and how we can kind of evaluate ourselves. Now, I want to be careful here. So much of what we call Christianity is guilt-induced behavior modification. And that's not what this is all about. Jesus did not come to give more rules. There's enough. The Pharisees had made 6,000 rules. And Paul was a good one of those rule followers. But what he found in Jesus was life. And so he said these words: devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. One way we can decide where our hearts are is, do we have a heart for God devoted to prayer? Do we have a heart for God? Do we want the things God wants? Do you know what? No one has to teach us to want what we want. No one has to teach me to want what I want, because I just want it. I want it. But to want what God wants and to have a heart for God goes against my own nature. Because you know, my tendency is to run from God, or to evade God, or to do something but not want Him and desire Him. But Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer. And the best way to evaluate our heart for God is our prayer life. How do we pray? And this is the thing you're going to feel guilty about. I'll guarantee you. I feel guilty. Anytime someone mentions prayer, I feel bad. I've got to tell you a story. A few years ago, I was pastoring a church in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. And it just so happened during that time that there was a Korean hospital in town. And they were dedicating their new chapel. And since I was the pastor of the International Evangelical Church, they invited me there to have a dedication prayer at the Korean hospital chapel. Now, let's digress just a moment here. If there is one group of people in the world who tend to exemplify a heart for God and devotion to prayer, it is Korean Christians. And I want to say this word. Maybe you've been hearing, and we've all been hearing a little bit about, hopefully, a little thawing of relations with North Korea. And I truly hope, along with the Japanese and everyone else, that they have a true change of heart, but we won't know for a long time, maybe. But you know what I was thinking about as I listened to these things? You're thinking about bombs and all this kind of stuff. North Korean Christians are the most persecuted Christians in the world. And they are locked up. They're putting hard labor. Many have been killed. It's amazing. But think a little bit more about this. Years ago, in the early 1900s, the missionaries went to Korea, and the part of Korea that was receptive to the gospel was the north. Jonathan Goforth was one of the early missionaries there, and many, many people came to Jesus Christ. The part of Korea that was resistant to Jesus was the south. Well, then the communists came in and they took over the north and all that went on there. And as it became difficult, so many of those Christians migrated south. And in South Korea, you have some of the largest churches in the world. And one of the things about these churches, it's not unusual for them to have special prayer centers. And they get up in the morning. They pray at 4 o'clock in the morning almost every day. And they just pray. So I want to encourage you to be praying for these North Korean Christians, because you know what? They're praying for us. Someone said years ago they had some contact with some of these North Koreans, and their lives were so hard. And you know, so many of the people are starving there in North Korea. But they said what those Korean Christians were praying for, not just for themselves, they were praying for us. That we would be faithful to Christ because we live in such wealth, because we have such freedom here. And they were praying for us. But I go back to my story about going to lead the dedication prayer of the chapel at this church, at this hospital in North Korea. I mean, in Ethiopia, that was built by the Koreans. There is one church in South Korea, and I'd never heard of this church till I went to Ethiopia. It has about 25,000 to 50,000 members. And God put it on their heart to build a hospital in Addis Ababa because Ethiopians had come to fight in the Korean War. And it was their way of saying, we have a connection with you, and God has blessed us, and we want to bless you. And that church It's a Mungsung Presbyterian Church in Seoul, South Korea. They spend $1 million a year on this hospital, and that's what they've done for several years. And so they invited me there to pray, lead that prayer. And as I went there in that chapel, the senior pastor of the church was there. And one of the things I noticed, there was a big high stage. And when I was going to walk up on the stage, you take your shoes off and you put on sandals to walk up on the platform. And it was just so amazing. And I thought, I'm leading this dedication prayer amongst all these people who pray so hard. But, you know, it's easy for us to feel guilty about our prayer life. But what I want us to know is that when we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, we have new life. And it is in our heart to pray. If we will allow God to speak to our hearts, if we will connect our joys, our hopes, our hurts, our pains, what we look forward to, all the people around us, situations we know, if we'll connect them to Him, He loves it. And He honors that, because that is the essence of prayer. And one thing that happens to us, if our heart gets hard, we don't pray like we should. If our heart gets cold, we don't pray like we should. But let's be devoted to prayer, being watchful and being thankful. We have so much to be thankful for. God has done so much for us each and every day, and we can thank Him. And it is always good to thank Him. Do you know what our tendency is? To just ask for more. It's not to thank you, Lord, for being so good, but just to ask for more. And so really, when we are living heart first, we devote ourselves to prayer. And this idea of devoting ourselves to prayer carries the idea of be aggressive with our praying. To pray for situations that look impossible. To pray for difficult things. To pray for things to happen that we cannot make happen ourselves. I don't want you to, there could be special situations. Don't pray for someone else to mow your yard if you have a lawnmower and you can walk behind it or ride on it. No, but pray for God to change the life of somebody who desperately needs Him. Or someone who's going through a difficult time. Pray that they would know the peace of Christ as they walk through that time. Pray for things that we cannot do ourselves. Be devoted to prayer. You know, we Baptists would tend to work ourselves to death. And someone said years ago, Mary had a little lamb, would have been a sheep. But she joined a Baptist church and died for lack of sleep. We are very activists. There's good in that. So how much more we need to make sure we devote ourselves to prayer. Now, you can pray while you're driving, but don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes. It's bad enough to if you should ever text while driving. Don't do that either. But we can pray, and we honor God when we pray, being watchful and being thankful. Now, why is it our heart is so important? The Proverbs 4:23 says this: above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. You know, when we accept Christ as Savior, He gives us, and we describe it sometimes this way, a new heart. Or we're born again. We have a hard heart. It becomes soft. We have a heart of stone. It becomes fleshy, as the Bible says. It becomes alive and living. And we need to guard our hearts. I think what happens to us sometimes is we think that when Christ comes and He saves us, then it's just wait till heaven. Wait till I die and go there. But no, not at all. He begins to work on us. We need so much work, because when we come to Jesus, we have hearts that need Him. Sometimes we have broken hearts. Sometimes we just have holes in our hearts. And it hinders the work of His Spirit in our lives when we have these holes in our heart, because we tend to try to fill them up with things that don't work. Instead, He wants us to guard our hearts and ask, let this be your prayer. Say to the Lord, heal my heart. Fill my heart. Renew my heart. It honors Him when we do this. Matthew 6, 20 and 21 says it this way. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We want to live wholehearted. We want to live heart first. And we want to set our hearts on things that will last. How do we know where our heart is? One thing is, what do we treasure? Amen. It says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now we get to work here. While we work here, we're laying up treasure there. While we love people here, we're laying up treasure there. When we look forward to honoring Him, when we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's our desire for God to use us to lay up treasure there. The Bible speaks so much about our hearts. And if we're going to live heart first, we've got to guard our hearts. And we've got to keep our hearts warm toward Jesus Christ. Now, another thing Paul says in verses 3 and 4, he says, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. And he says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. If one indication that we're living heart first is that we have a devotion to God and we are devoted to prayer, we have a heart for God devoted to prayer. Another thing is a heart for sharing Jesus with those who have not heard. Paul prayed this prayer and he asked him to pray. He said, pray for us too. I'm praying for you. Pray for us too. That we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. And then he says, for which I am in chains. What was Paul asking them to pray for? Pray to get me out of here. Pray that justice will be done. No, he said, pray that I may proclaim the mystery of Christ. And pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. I'm sure Paul wanted to get out of prison. But more than that, Paul wanted Christ to use him where he was. And he wanted other people to know Jesus. Do you know what the astounding thing is? People outside this church do not know what we're doing in here this morning. And they don't know why we're doing it. They may have been in church. But sometimes they think we're here because we think we're better than them. No, we're here because we know we need Jesus so much in our lives. And so we want to have hearts characterized by sharing Christ with those who haven't heard. It's why we do things like we call missions. Yesterday I was driving through the little town of Kilmarnock, Virginia, which is out toward the eastern shore of Virginia. And I saw a sign, and I'd seen it the day before, and it said, the first woman missionary to China came from here. There was a historical marker. So as I drove back through, I stopped and read the sign. And it said, Henrietta Hall was from Kilmarnock, Virginia. And it was right in front of Kilmarnock Baptist Church. And I imagine that was her church. She was the first woman missionary to China. And I believe she went out in 1836. Her husband was J. Lewis Shook. And Henrietta Hall died in Hong Kong in 1844. She lived 8 years out there. But what happened was she came to Jesus in that church. And Jesus changed her heart. And she left everything she knew and that was familiar to her. And went against probably a lot of her friends' suggestions and went over there to China because she wanted those people to know Jesus. She didn't go because she felt she was better than the Chinese. She went because she wanted them to know Jesus the way she had come to know Jesus. So a heart-first living is characterized by a heart for sharing Jesus with those who haven't heard. And another thing about it, and it's very important, is a heart for living authentically before others. Paul said it this way, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. He used the term outsiders, and this means those who are outside of Jesus. That's all it meant to him, those outside of Jesus. And he said, be wise in the way you live toward them. And what he was wanting was, I want you to live out Christ in front of them. I want you to make the most, to buy up every opportunity for Christ to be shown through your life to them. You see, we want to live authentic lives. You know what happens to us? We get in habits sometimes of trying to look like we've got everything in order. Trying to look like we've got the answers to every question. And we know we don't. And sometimes people, we think we have it all worked out. But that's not true. I read the story of someone who was a Christian and they were devoted to Christ, and where they worked, they tried to live out the love of Christ, or they wanted others to know Jesus, but they never said anything to anyone else about Jesus. And finally, one of the men that he worked with, this man worked with, came to Christ. I don't know what the story was, but he came to Jesus and he told this very dedicated person that I come to Christ. And this person said, wonderful, that is great. And this person said, you know Jesus? She said, he said, I never heard you talk about him. And I thought that if you could live as good a life as you live without Jesus, why did I need Jesus? And so what we want to live authentically. If we mess up, if we blow it, confess it, acknowledge it. Don't just try to hide it, but let people know that Jesus forgives us. I mean, don't use it as an excuse for doing something wrong. But if you mess up, which you probably will, let people know that your hope is in Jesus Christ and you're living out the love of Christ. And if somebody offends you, forgive them because Christ has forgiven you. And so living out this Jesus is hard sometimes, but it shows that we're living heart first. And then lastly, living heart first, we have a heart for impacting others with grace. Paul said in verse 6, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And this is the critical thing. We want people to know we've received the grace of God in Jesus Christ. We do not deserve new life. We do not deserve the standing and the favor we have with God. But He gave it to us because of Jesus Christ, His Son, whom He sent into the world. And He gave us new life. He gave us eternal life. He gave us forgiveness, not because we had earned it, but because it was in Him to give it. And He gave it to us because we could never earn it ourselves. And so it's saying, let our way of life have grace seasoned all through it, like salt seasons our food. Because that leads people to the truth. What happens sometimes, people sometimes think Christians are just about rules, about laws, and about thinking they're better than other people. But that's not at all true. So how do we go about changing that? Just by impacting the world with the grace of God. Let the grace of God be on our mouth, in our hearts, to show it to others, extend it to others, and to give people the reason for the hope that is in us, that is Jesus Christ, in faith in Him and what He has done in our lives. Let's have a heart for impacting others with grace. Let us bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank You for the life You've given us in Jesus Christ, Your Son. And Lord, You know we want to live heart first. But Lord, You know our hearts this morning. You know the needs that are there. You know where we are. And Lord, we want to be real in your presence. And so, Lord, we want you to heal us. We want you to forgive us. We want you to strengthen us. We want to live for you. Help us to respond to you now that you may work more fully in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to be singing together an invitation hymn. And we'll sing together number 305. I'll be standing here at the front. I'll be glad to talk with you, to pray with you. But let's let this be a time where we give our hearts again, afresh and anew, to the Lord Jesus, or ask Him to heal our hearts, because we want to live heart first.